niece, she is sick, and one of our widows in our church, and Bernice Hamilton, Barb and Bruce's mother, and you'd pray for her that she would, that God would raise her up. I worked on a sermon last week and had it all ready to go and went over it last night, and I thought, man, this is just what I'm going to preach. And this morning, God woke me up early in the morning. I should be going to bed right now. And God spoke to my heart about living holy in an unholy world. And I just, you know, I run into it so much. You run into it so much. How that people have this unholy attitude towards the Almighty God. And how that people think God thinks. And how that they think that what their thought about heaven is. And they have a mixed up and many times very foul idea of what God truly is. And I thought, you know, I want to make sure as a pastor that I always impart onto my people that God has given me the responsibility for, to make sure you know what the Bible says, and that I will remind you of things that you may have forgotten for a while, but just keep you there and keep you at it. What do you think God thinks of our sin? I want to you to remember that when his son was on the cross, God could not and would not look on his own son, because the Lord Jesus Christ had taken our sins and placed it on himself. Our sins placed on himself. That is what God thinks of our sins, for his son had on his shoulders our sins and the sins of the whole world. And Jesus was deserted by God. You hear me? Jesus was deserted by God. He who had no sin, but he who had our sins imputed to him, he did it for us, did it for me. And by his heavenly, holy God Almighty, therefore, when Almighty Son was deserted, how much more shall we cry when we're deserted? The Lord Jesus cried his shriek on the cross, the darkest hour of all history of mankind, when he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I guess my question is, what shall be my cry? What is my cry if I'm a lost man? What is my cry when all is gone if I had not received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? There's no one that's going to rescue me. Marcia, you've got to be quiet now. What would my cry be if all was gone? Oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? God has an answer in the Scripture for that. Because ye have not set all my counsel, or ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. God said, I have done everything I could in all my creating power to give you my Son who emulates me. Christ is Jesus Christ in the flesh. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And God Almighty came to this world, walked on this earth for 3.5 years, 33 and a half years, and did everything he could, with all kinds of amazing miracles and everything, proving that he was God, yet mankind continues to constantly rebuke and rebuff and say, I don't want that. It seems like the Word of God constantly tells us that we're to live holy in this unholy world. He told us to live righteously. He tells us to live in purity. He tells us to live piously. He tells us to live a sanctified and a sacrificed life, a separated life. He tells us to do that in a world that is wicked, in a world that is not, I will tell you, God-friendly. I have never in my life, in all these years I've lived, 68 years of it, I've never seen anything so grotesque and despicable is what I'm hearing today of people talking about the Almighty God. You cannot turn your TV on without hearing God's name used in vain. What incredible! Well, you know what's incredible? The atheist says, we don't believe in God, but how come they're always using my God's name? Yep. I asked him that. I was at the barbershop the other day, and my barber started to use God's name in vain. I said, hey! I said, you start talking like that, I'm going to start preaching. Sorry, Rev. We live in it's incredible. You hear it all the time. Oh God. You know when you say that? You're using God's name in vain. Listen to me, Christians. I hear Christians saying it. It drives me crazy. I'll turn on my heels and I'll talk to you about it. Yes, I will. Don't use God's name in vain. I didn't even hear one amen out there. I was at a federal law enforcement academy, and I took their class called Teaching the Teacher, Training the Trainer. And they gave us an opportunity to impromptu speech, and there was two guys. One stood there, and one stood here. And we were to debate on whatever we wanted to say. But he could say anything he wanted. I said, and so I started my debate. I said, I am sick and tired of people using my God's name in vain. And I let it rip. By the way, I won the speech contest that day. And that guy just stopped. He started amening me. He was supposed to be yelling his stuff. And people really agree with that. And they say, yeah, that's right, preacher. We shouldn't do that. It drives me crazy when somebody puts OMG on my phone. That just flat out flipped me out. Are you kidding me? This God that we serve is a living God. He has created this magnificent universe with His voice, and He just spoke and it was there. And we flippantly use His name. We are to live a life that is disconnected from the terrible sins of the tainted world. We're to be disconnected from this world. I see so many people who want to live like the world. They want to dress like the world. You go in their homes and you notice the posters on the walls that show. They're not posters of Paul and John and Peter. There's posters of Peter, Paul, and Mary. That really dated me, didn't it? That just kills me. How many know who Peter, Paul, and Mary were? That's what I thought. You young people have no idea, and I'm glad you don't. Amen. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That didn't mean weird people. It says peculiar people. Zealous of good works, desiring to do good, zealous. I am so zealous to get this job done. I want to help people. I want to. He says, zealous, good work. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Listen to me. He's talking about you. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. I don't want to show it off.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave Himself for us that we might redeem us of all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, but as He hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. Guess what, Christians, if you're a Christian, if you claim that you're a Christian, if you claim that you are a believer, you claim that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you claim that you at one time got on your knees and confessed your sins and asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, God said you're to live holy. And that means our children, that means our teenagers, that means our young adults, that means our middle age, and it means us old fogies. We're to live holy in an unholy generation. Don't you tell me it's not unholy. I get so sick and tired. You can't even watch a basketball game without some looty-tooty girls running around there half-naked.
That's right.
Tom Williams said this. He said, I see more nakedness in one day than my grandfather saw in his lifetime. How true a statement. How true a statement. Girls, dress up, cover up. That's only supposed to be for your husband, nobody else. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame on you to show yourself. I want to tell you something, what happened 3 years ago. 3 years ago in Great Falls. My friend goes to this Catholic church. And the Catholic priest got up in whatever they call it. I don't know if they call it a pulpit or whatever. And he said this, ladies, if you don't cover up, I'm not going to give you the Eucharist or the communion. How sad! People come to church looking like they're beach bums. This is God. Hey, you come. Hey, I'm glad you're here, but good night, man. The Bible said, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to run around flip-flops and a t-shirt on. He said, I don't like that kind of preaching. I didn't know you were coming. Just bring it up. Raise your standard up a little bit. Brother Stark and I were at the Flying J. What do they call it? That Denny's up there? We were having breakfast. And a man came up to me and said to me, are you a pastor? I lent my Bible up. But you know, this is the way I was dressed. And he said, are you a pastor? And I said, why'd you ask that, sir? I said, I really want to know. Yeah, I said, by the way, yes, I am. But I said, why'd you ask that? He says, you just look like a preacher. He said, you dress so nice. I don't want to look like a slob for Jesus. I don't look like... I'll tell you a story. My dad was a county commissioner for 25 years in Michigan. He never went to town without a suit and tie on. Never. One day, he took a truckload of beans. My dad was a farmer, took a truckload of beans into the elevator and had to have that check in the bank. Walked in the bank and the lady says, may I help you? And he said, I'm Claire. That's my dad's name. I'm Claire. She says, you've got to be kidding me. I've never seen you dressed like that before. She said, what do you do? He says, I'm a farmer. No! You're not a farmer? Yes, I am, ma'am, and here's the check. You better put it in or I won't be a farmer, amen. Hey!
when the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren. The word beseech me grabs a hold of me in college. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't you dare let the world make you shove you into a slot. Don't be conformed along with the world. Well, this is the way the world does things. Well, this is not the way the world, our church is going to do things. This is not the way that my house is going to. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's my desire in my heart. That my home will be a home that God is always welcome. Everything I watch on that TV, everything I read, everything I do on that computer, I had better be doing it that my God can sit at my right side and watch what I'm doing. Secondly, we're to fear God. I'd like to ask you the question. Do you fear God? If you don't fear God, I question your intelligence. I question your salvation. I question your motives. And I question your life. I so often hear people use God's name in vain. You don't fear God. If you fear God, you never use God's name in vain. Do you know that when the scribes were writing out the Bible and when they were copying the Word of God, when they came to the Word God, they would go and wash themselves, take a brand new quill, and write the Word God, and never use that quill again, go back, wash themselves, and then come back and start copying more of the Bible. That's how they feared God. That's incredible, isn't it? So often I hear people using God's name in vain. Man makes God so familiar, so commonplace, so trite, so superficial, so corny. God is not common. God is not the old man in heaven. God is Almighty God. God is holy. I said God is holy. God is holy. That word holy means to be separate from all other things. He is holy God. God is not an old man in heaven. He's eternal. He'll never get old. He's the Almighty. The world owns a lukewarm God. They play with and alter His name. We have had generations of preachers today in pulpits and around the world that are paid for reading and get paid for preaching the Word of God, but they have become jokesters and pulpit instead of pulpiteers to preach the Word. Be instant season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. You come to church and they don't rebuke you. And somebody can get you in face about you're living against the principle of the Word of God. Hey, find another church. Find a church you can be fed. Find a church that says, you know what? I better clean up my stuff. You know what? I better stop using God's name in vain because that preacher's saying that God is really going to get all over me for it. Amen. They question the deity today. They question the authority of the Word of God that they're paid for. They're paid to preach the Word of God. But they question, I don't know if that really means what it means, what it says. Are you kidding me? Why don't you go get a real job? They question the depravity of man. I am a sinner. My friend Bobby Pyle the other day, I was leading him to Jesus Christ, and I said, Bobby, I said, I know you're a sinner. He said, I know you're a sinner. Bobby and I grew up together. He knew that I was a sinner. He said, man, I still can't believe you're a preacher. But anyway, we won't go into that, okay? The question of doctrine. They question salvation.
They question that Jesus Christ is coming back.
Oh, that just, it's been happening for years. That's not true.
They make a mockery of the Holy Word of God. They laugh at men of God who truly believe that God is alive and well. You can laugh all you want, but my God's alive and well. There's no way I could get through life without Almighty God and a Savior who's so merciful and gracious to me. Let me remind you, with all reverence, God does not laugh at that kind of rudeness. God is not amused at their remarks. God is not happy with their jesting about the power of the Almighty God and their antics about His heaven. Heaven has no clubs, nor places that you will drink at their bars or the drinks will be served. The world and the devil delight to put the Almighty God down to their level. Hey, I just want to tell you, quit dumbing down my God. My heart is burdened today to think that I have not taught you or trained you properly when I hear you say, oh my God, are you kidding me? Shame on you. You're using the God who created this universe. You're using the God's name that gave us salvation, that promises life everlasting. What are you doing? Oh, Pastor, it doesn't mean like what it used to be. Well, yes, it does. Reginald Heber captured the idea of God as he wrote his belief of the holiness of God as he penned that song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three person, blessed Trinity. The second stanza goes like this, Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Seraphim and cherubim, cherubims and seraphim falling down before Thee, who was and is and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, though the eyes of sinful men Thy glory may not see, only Thou art holy. There is none beside Thee. Perfect power in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. John wrote of heaven. He got a good look of it. And he wrote that blessed book called Revelation. And as he wrote that book about the abode there, there were great angels who are familiar with the acts of the Almighty God. Listen to the heartbeat of John as he explains what he knew of the Almighty. Look what John saw in heaven. He said, they adore one God, the only Lord God Almighty. He said He's unchangeable. He's everlasting. They adored the three holies in the one God, the Holy Father, the Holy Son, the Holy Spirit. In His glory, the prophet saw Christ and spoke of Him. Thirdly, they heard the adoration of the 24 elders, that is, of the Christian people representing them and the Old Testament saints representing them. The people followed the praise. And He says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure. They are and were created. The object of their worship is the same with which the ministers abode. Him sat at the throne in the eternal, ever-living God. Therefore, the true church of God should
have the same object of worship. We ought to be worshiping Him instead of people. We should be worshiping Him instead of the creation. We need to worship the Creator. We've got a lot of churches today. They're worshiping the creation instead of worshiping the Creator. Boy, you want to be careful. You go to church like that. Because God's got a few things to say about that. They fell down before Him that sat on the throne. They showed profound humility and reverence and godly fear. They cast their crown before the throne. They gave God's glory and His holiness, wherewith He was crowned their souls on earth, and honor and happiness in which He crowned them in heaven. They owed all their graces and all their glories to Him, and acknowledge that His crown is definitely more glorious than theirs. That's why they threw their crown at the Lord God. The words of adoration, they said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." They do not say, "We give Thee glory, we give Thee honor, and we give Thee power, for what can a creature pretend to give to God?" But they said, "Thou art worthy to receive glory." They acknowledge that God is to be exalted far above all their blessings and praise. He was worthy to receive their glory, but they were not worthy even to praise Him. Nor is mortal able to do anything according to His infinite excellence. We can't even match anything that God has done. He is the Creator of all things. None but the Creator of all things should be adored. Nor should created things be the object of religious worship. He is the preserver of all things. He preserves this magnificent universe, though people say it's going to burn up or dry up. God said, "No, that's not going to happen. I'll take care of it when I need to." He does not depend on us. We depend on Him. He is the final cause of all things. For Thy pleasure, listen to me, for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. It was His will. It was His pleasure. It was His created. A couple months ago, I went into the internet and I looked on NASA. I challenge you to go and look at NASA and some of these Hubble telescope pictures of the universe. When I was growing up, our science teacher told us about the black hole. And it was just a vacuum. And it just sucked everything in it. It's all gone. They pointed that old Hubble telescope into that black hole. They found over what they can estimate, over 200 more constellations greater and larger than the one we live in. It ain't empty. And the magnificent, I found out something why I like dynamite and anything that explodes and make noise. When they shot that, took pictures, things were exploding in the universe. Just exploding. Can I see it with my naked eye? No. So therefore, and I got 20/20 vision, and if I can't see it, then I guess it wasn't made for me. Guess who it was made for? The Almighty God. It was for us. No. It's for Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. We just need to get out of the way and let God be God. And we be His servants. Proverbs 16:4, He hath made all things for Himself. He deals with them as He pleases and glorifies Himself by one way or the other. He is God. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. In fact, He's in my heart. And if I were to die today, according to God's holy word, this blessed book that I have preached for 47 years,
and it has not failed me.
Boy, I've sure failed it. This almighty book right here says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said, listen to me. Because man sinned, he owes a terrible price. That terrible price is death and hell. Forever. But he said, I'll tell you what, I gave you my son, my only begotten son. I would that none should perish, but all would come to eternal life. If you only receive me, I love you so much that I was crushed on the cross, hated and despised, yet he openeth not his mouth. And the man hanging next to him said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And to what Jesus said on his last dying breath, he said, today thou wilt be with me in the kingdom. You tell me that God doesn't love you? Are you out of your mind? God loves you. And he's giving you one more time to accept him as a Savior. This may be the last time. You better use it good. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Thank you for a magnificent God that we can serve. Thank you for a magnificent God who has given us this magnificent creation. You created us in our image and in your likeness. And Lord God, because of man's sin, he had a penalty to pay. And that penalty was death and hell. But Lord God, you have made arrangements. You have made it so that we could go to heaven. And our sins would be forgiven. All we have to do is cry upon your name. Lord, I pray to be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would they be that day. Your head bowed, eyes closed, you're here today and say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that right there where you're sitting. Why don't you call upon the Almighty God and he'll save you. Just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on a cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. He promised to save you. If you did that, why don't you just thank him and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. For taking away all my sins and giving me a home in heaven. Sure, I'll pray it once more. Just pray and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. Your head's bowed, eyes closed, you're here today. You say, preacher, that's me. I prayed God, I asked him to save my soul today. Would you lift your hand? I promise I will not embarrass you. I promise I won't point you out. But if you're here today and you like to pray and say, have me to pray for you, say, preacher, that was me today. God bless you. Someone else. The preacher today, I invited God to be my Savior. Anyone else? Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for you being a mighty God that we can't even fathom. Help us, Lord, to trust in you, Almighty God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure about that. I'd sure like to talk to you about it. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle today and say, preacher, today I want to ask Jesus in my heart. Why don't you come right now? You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Can you imagine an almighty God loving you? He spoke this world into existence, but he still loves you. That is the most. David wrote, he says, I think of these things, I can't even imagine. I warm way more than I can figure out. You hear David say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You hear David say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism, and I need to do that. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you take care of that? You hear David say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe God wants us to be at. Why don't you come at this time? You say, what does that entail? Well, first of all, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and saved you from your sins? Was there a time in your life you had Jesus in your heart? Well, yes, okay. And since you've been saved, have you followed Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism that's down in the water, showing that Jesus, you believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and raised up out of the water? Have you done that? We'd sure like to invite you to come to our church.
We'd love to have you part of it. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for what you've given to us. We thank you for loving us and caring for us. We thank you that you are an almighty God. We didn't even touch on it this morning. But dear God, help us to be very careful that we would not make fun or talk foolishly about the Almighty. For God, you keep everything and know everything that's going on. Lord, now speak to our hearts. Bring us back tonight, Lord, and help us as we have our mission meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. And Lord, bring folks out to help on that and in our services tonight. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
You're dismissed.